Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. This is episode 100, part 5.
Part 5.
We're just going to keep going with the parts. We don't know why. Sure. Eventually, we're going to make it episode 101, but for now, it's just episode.
It just feels special to be part of one of the 100 episodes.
I know. No, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get everybody in on the 100th episode. You know, this was totally the plan all along. We're not going by the seat of it. You know, people know that we plan everything out.
Way ahead.
Everything is very well calculated here.
Yes.
So.
The voice you just heard was Trevor Sikkema.
Hello. Not my last name, but hello.
Close enough.
Regardless.
Trevor Sikkema.
Also close. Not quite, though.
We just call him Trevor S.
I can't remember if I've told this before, but when I was a kid, I was playing hockey.
You mean like a couple years ago?
Yeah. The coolest thing was when you get to skate on the ice and you're a starter and they announce your name over the loudspeakers.
Wait, where
and
were you playing hockey at in Brandon?
Butchered Brandon, actually. Oh. They butchered my last name every single time. And like, it
you
just
guys
crushed
like,
me as
Are
a
you
kid.
Guys like Indians? I mean, what is that name?
You guys.
Yeah.
You
and your
you
folks.
Guys.
You and your pops.
Like us Indians?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put a Seminole hat on your head, you think you can talk like that?
That's right.
Please introduce the third voice.
Oh, yeah, the other
Scott.
Voice you
wait,
heard.
Is that? Is that? It sounds like. Could it be?
It is. We're actually, what we're going to do is you guys, we're not going to introduce who it is. You're going to have to guess. And the first person who guesses who that is gets a Ford's gift card.
But it's not live. We're
just
not like
kidding.
Live on the. You can't like text in.
Okay, well, what if we do this? What if we take the seventh caller?
Okay. Yeah, we'll take the seventh
if
caller.
If you can guess who this is. All right. No, that doesn't work either.
So when Nick Carter calls and he goes, "Hey, I'm listening to Greg Allman," we'll be like, "Okay, how?"
You just gave it away. There
Sorry.
Goes the contest.
Sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry.
No.
My favorite thing is when you're doing a radio hit with like an out of town, and like it's really nice. If you're on the radio, it'll be like, you know, Minneapolis or Cleveland or some crap, and they'll be like, "Hey, just make sure I spell your last name or pronounce your last name correct," which is great.
Right.
And when they don't, you're like, "Oh, well, who cares?" So it's like they're like, "Hey, we're here with Greg Oman
Allman.
From the," and it's like you have that like it doesn't mean enough to me to say you'd have it wrong. So it's
I'm always going to go with Greg Allman with you. That's just that's an honor to be part of the Allman Brothers. You know, I think it was somebody asked yesterday, how's the rest of the brothers doing? That's not very funny because both of y'all are dead.
Y'all.
There was only
well,
two
the
Allman
other.
Brothers.
Well, the others.
Dwayne died in 71.
For a minute, I was like, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
My brother Steve is fine.
I
have a brother,
great.
So it works.
Great. Your two sisters and your aunts, they have no idea they're listening to this podcast and they think your brother
right.
died. But no.
If my brother's listening, give a shout out to my brother Steve.
While he's still here.
He's up with slightly less Allman Brothers jokes than I do. But.
Greg, I know that I've said this in person, but congrats on the new gig. Congrats
thank you very
on
much.
The athletic gig, the transfer over there.
Very much. No, thank you. It's getting to the point where it doesn't feel, it still has that new job.
Sure. Sure.
But no, it's not. Yeah, just over 2 months. So
no, it's really
can
happy.
You give me like a free like a 30-day free trial or something?
I can't. I can give
like I wanted to read your story the other day, and it said to subscribe, and I was like,
he
I,
does good
I,
stuff.
I don't
just know. Pay for it.
It's like $100 a week, isn't it?
Oh,
not $100 a week. I'm not Princessa
no?
man. No.
Okay.
It's as little as $250 a month if you know a guy.
So
no, yeah. If you get the right special, it's like there's 40% off some weeks.
That's cheaper than buying
it.
Times.
Do it. It's like getting Sirius Satellite Radio. Just time it where they do a
and
deal. Make sure you
right.
get it though.
And if you're not sure, they have free trials. Give it a look. There's. I would say don't do it just for me. There's
no do it just
like
for him.
300 writers on the.
So
site
for
now.
$250, I get everybody.
Yep.
Get everybody.
Oh,
yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Full time
well,
writers on
you.
Every. Yep. Not to get too
well,
crazy.
Well, if Trevor will ever pay me the $5 that he owes me, then I will subscribe.
I want a rematch.
Yeah, no. Writers on every
tic-tac-toe
single
rematch.
Team, MLB, NHL, NBA, NFL.
There you
and
go.
A million
no, the Athletics too. Doing really good stuff.
No, thank
so,
you.
So, all right. Let's actually talk football.
Sure.
Because we're 4 minutes in now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe lost half the audience. Sorry, everybody.
So, Greg,
sorry.
You got a, I guess you got a book you're selling or something? Yeah.
All right, so
all right, do the Bucks beat the Bengals predictions right now? We'll just no, I'm just
yeah,
kidding.
Let's knock this podcast out right
out of the gate. Save it for hour three.
What is there? Is where's the excitement level for this game?
I see. It's weird because I've thought about this because this is Cincinnati is such a obscure opponent for the Buccaneers, right? I mean,
rarely
any division, any division game, obviously a big game. You've got fans that could be chirping each, right. at each other on either side, and even this game is so big. For both sides to determine what 2018 is going to be
sure.
like for them. But it's just funny how these are two fan bases that never really interact. So it's almost like there's not this, I don't feel this animosity or even this hype when this game is, I mean, it's truly important for both teams, right?
No, I mean, especially for the Buccaneers trying to get back over to that 500 mark. I mean, Scott pointed out here a couple weeks ago, if they lose to the Browns, they're two games under 500. It would take three straight wins to get back over 500, nearly a month. You know, so again, staying over that 500 mark.
When you
is
say
important.
The words nearly a month, and you know that there's only 4 months in the season, that's what in your mind goes, oh, wow, this could be a big game. Because we talk about that all the time. We go, oh, this is a big game, this and that. But like when you put it like that, in order for them to get to where they want to go, that I mean, the Browns win was huge, but I think the Bengals win. Them building off of it is huge too, because you know, getting 500, it's a benchmark, but compared to what the rest of the NFC might be doing come December, late December,
and when you were 5-11 last year, I mean, being over 500 is something to hang your hat on. Look, when you look at the NFC wildcard playoff race, I mean, I know it's early, Greg, but I mean, Buccaneers are right in the thick of things, right?
I
mean,
I think they're like a half game out, is what it would be,
or
loss out, basically. Yeah, if you, and it's funny because the NFC is nicer than the AFC. Like, right now, there'd be 2-4-3 teams in the AFC that don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
NFC is a little easier.
Which is not what I thought at the beginning of the year. I looked at the NFC and I went, this is clearly the better conference in football, and here we are.
Well, I mean, they're the SEC of the NFL. You know, they beat up on each other all the time.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I felt like,
but, you
I
know,
feel like this
at the
game,
end of the year, they're still champions. Isn't that right?
I don't know. Were
Roll
they last
tide.
Year?
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually an all-SEC final last year. I know you didn't watch because of that. But.
No, I did watch it. I was pulling for Georgia.
The FSU, not to digress, but how do you feel about FSU going to Clemson? Jameis was,
did you make the bet with...
Jameis was a little bit muted in his enthusiasm, being that
he was. They were kind of like... Hey, Jay, well, I can't remember. Did you sneak in for the end of Jameis?
Okay,
so they asked Jameis at the podium, hey, you know, the Seminoles are going big game against Clemson. Like, how do you feel? And, you know, Jameis, normally, like, oh, Florida State's going to win. It's not even going to be close. And this time he was like, yeah, I mean, Clemson's a good team. It'll be a tough one, but...
I know we won when I was there. That kind of
that's
thing.
Basically
that's basically all that really matters.
Okay.
That's all that really matters if you're Jameis Winston.
Loves DeAndre, has a lot of confidence in Coach Taggart.
Do you have a bet with Humphreys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, if I lose, I will
Losers got to quit their job.
No. We get
I mean a lot more for him.
Trading salaries.
Salary. All right. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
So I'm like, if I lose.
All right.
So I get Adam's salary. No, what it's going to be is the actual bet is loser wears a banana hammock with the other team's colors next week in open locker room.
Wow. I just forgot,
it's
but I'm going to be on vacation next week.
No, I'm not telling you what
it's
day it is.
It's not that open
I'm not telling, I'm not telling you what day it's going to be. We're just going to surprise you.
And just like Jameis was again, a little bit cautiously optimistic, Hump is walking into the stadium on Sunday. I was kind of hanging out where the players' entrance is. And he's signing autographs, and the guy's like, hey, Adam, Clemson going to beat Alabama this year? And he's like, Alabama's a good team.
That's really funny.
Yeah, it was just like like he's nodding, but he's Alabama is a good team,
that's
well,
good.
And we talked about it. It'll be, you know, Adam is our guest on the episode of What's Cooking, which will be out on Friday. Adam, obviously a Clemson guy, me being a big Florida State fan, so we had a little friendly banter, and we do have a wager, and no, it does not include banana hammocks. I was kidding. But yes, we do have a bet. He'll wear Florida State gear in open locker room, or I'll have to wear some of his Clemson crap. I mean, stuff. So
hey, I got to throw in a plug for your show, just because you guys don't appreciate the logistics of Mark recording the podcast in the hallway that Jameis Winston has to walk through between where he does his media access each week and where he needs to be in the locker room. So he's walking past every week. So it's like you had that initial, like, oh, wow, Mark's talking to Ali Marpet. Jameis Winston walked by.
Right, right.
It's very smartly executed to have it exactly where it is. Mark's wearing the FSU hat.
Well calculated.
As Trevor said, everything is planned out.
Right. If his car broke down in front of Jameis's house, it would be no less calculated than it is right now.
That's very true.
Even though I live nowhere near there. Sorry, Jameis, can you come out and help me change the tire?
That's very true.
But I had the realization that I was going to get to walk by the camera.
Yeah, you do.
And interrupt the podcast, and it was a genuine thrill, I have to tell you.
Yep, you do. Speaking of calculated things, does it matter that the Bucs can't run the ball?
No.
So far, like I said, if the worst thing you can say about your team is, boy, they have trouble holding multi-touchdown leads in the second half of games, you'll take that as a Bucs fan.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Because that's where it's shown up. Is like, you have the lead, you really aren't that good at solving
the ball. Because that was the big, I think, the reoccurring topic with when Todd Monken was at the podium today, which is Thursday when we're recording it, whenever you're listening. It's probably not Thursday anymore. But he was asked about – he keeps getting asked about the whole balance thing and the fact that the Buccaneers are so clearly one-sided with pass versus run. And especially this week, I think that means a lot for a couple of reasons. One, Peyton Barber was on the injury report to start the week. He practiced today.
Practiced today.
So that's a good sign. But, you know, we also talked to Ronald Jones, and I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought Ronald Jones sounded like plenty confident in himself, right, more so than I've noticed in the past. Would you right. say that too, Greg?
No, I would agree. Like I said, Ronald Jones has been very good about admitting, yeah, he's got a couple things he has to work on. And like today he was smiling a little bit.
Yeah,
today
like
he came off like somebody who, if he had to have 15 touches on Sunday, he could totally cool with that.
Right. No, I'm with you. And so the Bengals are a team that's giving up more yards on the ground, I think, on average per carry than most other teams in the league. I don't know
if it's 5-0.
Is it dead last? Is it dead last?
It's like 29.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't think that it was dead last. But obviously that's a big deal for the Buccaneers, and that's why that makes this game so interesting, not only because the result's going to mean a lot towards the playoffs for either team and their record, but it's setting up to where if the Bucs are going to win, they might have – Cincy's defense is vulnerable in the way that the Buccaneers don't voluntarily choose to attack. So if there were to ever be a week where maybe they flip the script a little bit and truly say, all right, we're going to run the ball, control the ball on the ground – this would be the week to do it, but I don't like. Do you think they do it?
Well, I mean, I think the best friend of a struggling or a young defense is you know your offense staying on the field as much as possible.
For sure.
But at the same time, if you can exploit a team through the air and score, I mean, as they all point out, you know, you got to score more points than the other team. However, that happens. So, you know, that's a dilemma that I think that Dirk and Todd Monken are thinking about this week. I don't know if this is a dilemma, but they're trying to decide.
Right.
We want to help our defense as much as possible
right.
by running the football, a 7 or 8 minute drive, which I don't think the Buccaneers have had anything close to something that long this year. Not that I can name
they've
off
had
top
it against
my head.
Them. Had they've it had it against them a couple,
certainly,
I think,
but
a handful of times.
But they haven't been able to do that. In any of these games that they've won, let's see who they beat. They beat the Eagles. They beat New Orleans. They beat the Browns. That's who else? That's it.
That's
3-3.
That's three.
Right.
The 3-3.
All three of those games, they had opportunities to extend the game, go on that what they quote the 4 minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to do that against New Orleans. Not because they were able to run the football, because Ryan Fitzpatrick scrambled on third down, third
right.
11.
Really, it was just, I mean, they beat New Orleans just because they just kept scoring points.
Right.
I mean, that was, I wouldn't even say that they controlled the game at
no,
any
they
point.
No, they didn't, but
just
that,
scored.
They were able to keep the Saints from having that last drive
yeah,
opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's
but
true.
But that was Fitzpatrick. That wasn't Peyton Barber. That's the thing. If you're going to, I mean, I would be more concerned about that. I said this in the press box the other day. This team is paying Allen Marpet $10 million a year. Ryan Jensen's getting, what, 11, 12, whatever it is, $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Smith's going to want his 10 or 12. DeMar Dotson's making 4.5. That's a ton of money to spend on an offensive line. They can't establish the line of scrimmage.
Which is
and
not
I'm not
good.
Saying just in their, run game. I thought their pass protection wasn't great the other day as well.
I mean, I think their pass protection is better than their run blocking,
oh,
which is something because, you know, I even asked Monken when he was at the podium today.
What? You asked a question?
I did. I asked about the run blocking because I wanted to hear.
Right.
Monken's normally a guy who's a straight shooter.
Right.
And so I wanted to ask him about the run blocking because I know the run blocking is not what it's supposed to be. And
right.
I asked him basically, like, hey, what do you say about the run blocking? And he's like, oh, it's fine. And I was like, I wish you would have given
Based
me
on
a better.
What?
Right. I mean, because look, you keep trying to run, like, for example, like outside zones with Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
You're paying your offensive line way too much money to
mm-hmm.
not be able to run an outside zone.
Right.
And they cannot zone block to the outside.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of, you know, offensive line is really difficult because, and we talk about this all the time, you know, you could have 60, 70 snaps in a game as an offensive lineman. And if you screw up two of them, people say your day was bad. Like they'll be all over you for a bad day. But the thing is, offensive line's a chemistry thing. It's either all got to work at once or not.
Well,
and we're so far, they're six games in, and they really have
and
yet to put
zone
that together.
Blocking, it even has to be more of a chemistry because it is a cohesive unit that's moving as one.
Mm-hmm.
It's five guys essentially on roller skates, right?
Mm-hmm.
If one guy slips and falls, it screws up. It's like a domino effect. Everybody makes a mistake. When you have, you know, your power scheme or your man blocking scheme, you know you're guard's
going to
pull.
It's a little easier because, yeah.
It is. You know, to me, it's a simpler thing. And this team tends to try and do a little bit of both sometimes, but they certainly struggle in the zone blocking scheme. You know, athleticism is crucial. The reason the Broncos were able to and the Redskins were so successful in the 80s and 90s with their zone blocking scheme is they had smaller, more athletic offensive linemen. Who would you look on this offensive line and go, that guy's nimble on his feet? I mean, which it's just if you lined all five of them up,
right,
which one are you
right.
saying is going to go win Dancing with the Stars? I mean, I don't think any of them are. You know what I mean? Really, nobody. I mean, they're all kind of those plotters, you know, or those mutters, you call them, right? But again, I'm not going to tell George Warhop what to do or Todd Monken or Dirk Cutter for that matter. They obviously
think that they can get it. A little like counterproductivity, right? Because we noticed a little bit, let's just say with the corners, they're drafting guys who even went back with Hargraves. Hargraves was clearly at his best when he could play close up
right.
cover three, but you know, close
right.
up. Like, he was able to sure. kind of stay with the wide receiver. Brent Grimes, much better as an off corner because he's seen it all. He's got the
right.
experience. He can read a quarterback's eyes. He can read where the ball's probably going. He can read and he can react to it, and that's where he's better at. So now all of a sudden you've got some of your best guys who are almost like split in the schemes that they do well
right.
at. Peyton Barber, if you're taking what Mark is saying, Peyton Barber's the much better running back for this offensive line then because they could just run power.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Ronald Jones is almost like a completely different dude. So, yeah. Is there a counterproductivity
yeah,
there?
I think
or?
There's, no. I mean, I think by that, Barber would make sense. And again, we saw Barber today. He could go. And the other thing is that I don't think Jacquizz Rodgers is really enough. I think he's like a third down guy
mm-hmm.
to somebody else no matter what. So it'll be Ronald Jones if it's not Barber. But yeah, they have. I think they're at a point where they realize the investment they've made in Ronald Jones, and I think they want to make sure they're seeing what he can do on the field. And I think right now it feels like what Ronald Jones has been able to do in games has been scattershot here and there. You know, he's had a couple runs where he's one step away from making a guy miss, but really hasn't had that play
right.
yet where you said, wow, that's the guy they drafted. That's
yeah.
the burst and the speed. That fans
no,
have been waiting
I
to
mean,
see.
He didn't
he hasn't
have
had
a,
that.
No, like, not even at all in the preseason, you know.
Oh, definitely not in the preseason. I mean, I think he had a catch out of the backfield last game where it, like, started to get open field.
Right.
It mm-hmm. just hasn't clicked yet.
Right.
And once he gets there, I think.
And his touchdown run was, what, eight yards, something like that?
8 yards, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but again,
open, yeah.
I think, you know, a guy like Ronald Jones, it's going to take a Peyton Barber being out for him to be able to really get those 15, 20
yeah.
carries in a game to be able to showcase what he can do and get that confidence. You know, you hear off the coaches all the time talk about, you know, running game, running backs getting in a rhythm and things like that. It's going to be difficult for Ronald Jones to showcase what he's doing, getting four carries a game
right.
for 16 games, I think.
But I think it's trust as much as confidence, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing where, I mean, Cutter was fairly pointed in pointing out that he doesn't put a whole lot of blame. Again, I mean, the interception in overtime is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to go out of his way to make it clear that somebody ran a defender into a spot that he wasn't
yeah.
supposed to be, that's what they don't want from Ronald Jones. That's what he can't do.
Right.
And that's what works against all the upside and potential and big play potential he would bring.
You know, if you're a gambling man, because you're not, you're Craig Allman, you're
it's
a rambling man.
Dead.
All right, so you're the rambling man. But if you're a gambling man, Greg, which I know you're not, but there's one place that Peter Report likes to go, particularly Scott Reynolds.
Where would that be?
It would be mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is your one-stop shop for any type of betting needs in all sports. The Athletic covers all sports. Mybookie.ag covers all sports. College football, college basketball, NBA has just started back up. The NFL, the NHL, watched the Lightning last night with a 1-0 win.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I would have put some money on them in that game against Colorado. But mybookie.ag is a great place to go. They've got regular standard bets. You can do the parlays. You can do the teasers. I'm sure they've got some prop bets on there. Go check them out, mybookie.ag. And the cool thing, Greg, is whatever you, for new customers only, if you make a deposit into your account, they're going to match that deposit.
With
that's
the
a
promo
great
code.
Pewter.
Pewter.
Got to use the promo code Pewter.
Pewter.
So if Riley wants to do some gambling, Greg, you need to let him know. Use the promo code
that, Times
Pewter.
Bond money coming in.
There it is.
If he wants
yeah,
to put that on the Lakers
is.
And the over, that's fine.
That's
understand
fine.
The value of a dollar. It's
that's
good.
Fine.
It's
Mybookie.ag is the place to go. If you like to wager, check them out and make sure you use the promo code Pewter and they will match your deposit. up to, I think, $1,000. Yep, so you put $999 in, they're going to give you $999, and that's going to give you $1,000 and some change.
Yeah, bad with math.
Not good with math.
AG stands for always great.
Yes, always great. I like that. I like that.
Greg, I wanted to get your thoughts for sure on the new and improved Mark Duffner defense, kind of just like what you saw from them, if there was anything different that you did see. Obviously, they played a little bit better, but you could say, they were at home, you know, so a little bit easier. But
305 total yards. I think it's a little, then they played a little better.
You know,
it's 170 yards better than their next best game.
And then, you know,
Scott said, we brought this up before, but Scott said last week, he was like, you know, the Buccaneers of old would have been giving up 250 yards passing at halftime, and I went, but
you mean
like
last
5 days
week?
Ago?
Yeah,
you mean like the Buccaneers
way
of
back
5 days
in
ago?
Mid-October.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. What stood out to me, and I don't, there wasn't something you saw that was like, oh wow, that's definitely,
other than Carl Nassib somehow turning him an All-Pro player against his former team.
Carl Nassib, 2 sacks. The two big things.
What if Carl Nassib ends up being the guy who breaks the Simeon Rice jinx of double-digit sacks?
I'll come back on and I'll do all your all your mid podcast reads for you.
Okay.
If he does, all right, that's a promise.
All right,
my bookie coming back. All right, third down, the place where obviously where the Bucs were the absolute horribly worst was the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about 16 trips, 15 touchdowns.
Oh my goodness, okay? I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, they had not made a single red zone stop, even to a field
right.
goal, since the second time the Saints went there in the opener.
Oh, my
14
goodness.
Times in a row, if you made it to the 20, you were getting in the end zone against this Bucs defense.
They should have just pulled the defense off the field.
Right,
like, you know what?
Save the time.
Score.
Be like, I'm sorry, it's right there.
How
it's got
Mike
the paint.
Smith have a job that long?
So to have that be who you were coming into last week, and then to have two complete fourth down stops were outstanding. And I don't know that you'll see a better play than what Levante David did.
Oh,
get,
my
get
goodness.
Baker Mayfield. Because Quan Alexander goes down on the play.
I know. That's the
he's
biggest shame of it.
And catching his knee before Baker Mayfield takes off.
Yeah.
And the Baker Mayfield has the first down. I mean,
yes. Yes. He has it.
He has the first down. And Levante David literally just takes it, and it's just a beautiful tomahawk, and pokes the ball out just enough that it pops out a yard short of a first down.
Yeah.
It's just a great play, and is exactly what they needed. And then I still am not sure. The Browns went for it on fourth and goal at the one and got stood up. And I'm not really even sure how they did that. But
that play is – now, I was trying to explain to people how difficult that truly is, because in order to stop a team from the half-yard line at
right.
the goal line getting in, knowing that all you have to do is break the plane
right.
and you score, people don't realize that in order for that to happen, your nose tackle has to completely dominate – the double team that's coming against him to where he does not give up any ground.
Right.
The defensive tackle who is next to him needs to also get a good jump and neutralize that. The linebacker behind them has to jump when the timing of the snap
right.
is happening to stop any momentum, and then the closing end or linebacker, whoever it is on the edge, has to come in so fast that they grab the ball carrier and stop them from moving. That is so difficult, and I went and watched the all 22 of that at least a dozen times, and absolutely every part of that happened for the Buccaneers. So
yeah.
it was.
So what you're saying is the Browns are idiots for not handing off to Nick Chubb in that situation.
I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I would have snuck it with Mayfield.
Oh, that works.
Yeah.
I think that works. 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 times.
Well, with this defense,
it just didn't here.
Before this
right.
time, it worked 14 out of 15 times.
Right.
15 out of 16.
Yeah. yeah.
So you have two fourth down stops, and then
crazy.
Third down. They're 3 for 14 on third down, which
right.
is really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
And they got
oh,
that,
yeah.
they got good that way because they were good on first and second down.
Yep.
And I think some of that is a lot of Cleveland penalties. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
They
I was
hurt
gonna
themselves
say,
a lot, for sure.
Cleveland didn't convert a third down, I don't think, where they needed more than 5 yards.
Right.
So, I mean, 0 for 10, I think, on
no,
third
it's huge.
And 5 or longer.
And I think, you know, the big difference that I saw, I mean, there were a couple of different differences when you see Duffner's kind of touch on the defense, but the way that I think that they were aggressive towards the ball when it was in the air, I think was a big difference. Whether it was Carl Nassib's crazy pass breakup or MJ Stewart playing that corner fade route on Jarvis Landry going into the end zone, or what?
Or Carlton Davis
Carlton
committed
Davis.
A pass interference in the end zone and gave him first. Never
chill
mind.
Out.
Did that take
that when
no,
Carlton
he had
Davis,
a couple
he
nice.
Had a couple
yep.
really nice
yep.
plays, and that's a big. That is a big difference. Is I saw them play with a lot more confidence, and they were a lot more aggressive towards the ball, because the big. I think the big takeaway when Duffner took the podium earlier this week was turnovers, right? That was the emphasis. That's the next thing you have to. And he said this almost like matter-of-factly, like it's a giant duh, that this was not prioritized enough. Like, you have to take the ball away. Right. It is not just about, oh, you know, I was close to the guy, he didn't catch it or something. He's like, look, he even said in the press conference, he's like, every single time that a ball is in the air, you should think it's yours. Mm-hmm. Go get it. And that
you have just as much right as a defender that ball is the offensive
attitude,
guy does.
That attitude
mentality.
Just wasn't there with Mike Smith. Mike Smith talked about turnovers, sure, but nobody talked about turnovers like Duffner did the very first time he was asked about it.
Now it's time for the secondary to create some of these turnovers.
He's got to talk to the offense as well. That's the other thing is that you can't commit the turnovers. Bucks won on Sunday at a -3.
That rarely happens.
Impossible to do. Like Bucks history
only happens
3-95 all time. When they're -3 or -3
And
teams, I think NFL teams since the start of 17 only 3 wins as well. Since you're -3, like I said, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And they were -4 until they got the takeaway on special teams in overtime. It took 8 minutes into overtime to get to -3.
It's true.
I'll tell you what's a big minus. Big minus is when you're driving your boat and you hit a rock and you bust the bottom of it and you get a hole in your boat and you have to repair your boat. Wow, and then you're like, what am I going
to
do?
I don't know how to repair a boat.
I don't know how to repair a boat, Greg. Can you repair a boat?
If only there were a place that could help you out that way.
I know. I've just been thinking and racking my brain, and then all of a sudden I had an epiphany last night as I was driving down Adamo and I crossed 50th Street and I looked over to the north side of the street. There was a place. The angels sang. The symphony started. And I saw the sign that said T.A. Mahoney, 50th Street in Adamo since 1948. The place to go if you have any marine needs whatsoever. And I mean anything, guys. If you need a flare, I mean, listen, Greg and I have been out fishing late at night, had too many beers. We knocked the motor off the boat. We're floating around the Gulf of Mexico. We're heading towards Mexico. There's a caravan waiting on us there.
That dead body, by the way?
You know, we're not going to talk about that. The good news is, once we got rid of it, I was able to shoot my flare gun up in the air that I got from T.A. Mahoney's, and we were able to get rescued by the Coast Guard. So, seriously, if you have any marine or boating needs, if your boat needs a repair, if you can do it yourself, you can buy the supplies there. If you can't, T.A. Mahoney's can handle it for you. Boat trailers are a big problem, particularly if you drop them in salt water. Salt water is awful on bearings and things like that in your wheels and in your trailer. Go to T.A. Mahoney's. They can take care of you. They can wire all of your electronics. If you decide you need a new fish finder, any type of depth finder thing, they've got them there on display. You can check them out. You can buy them. They'll install them for you there at tamahoneyco.com. They've been around since 1948, family-owned and family-operated. Big fans of the Buccaneers. Even if you don't own a boat or have any marine needs, give them a call, shoot them an email, and tell them thank you for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast.
All right, what do we think? Who wins?
Bengals.
You think the Bengals win?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I truly...
I don't know, actually. I just say that.
You sounded real confident about that.
I was real confident the Buccaneers were going to wax the Browns last week. And they should have.
Oh,
they were up 23-9.
Oh, they waxed them.
Yeah, thank you, Chandler.
They were up 16-2. Yeah. Or what was it, 23-9?
23-9 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I mean, that's just...
Do you think the Bengals win, though?
I think it's going to be another close game. Team that makes the least amount of mistakes. They will not beat this team if they're -3 in the turnover department, for sure. Andy Dalton is not Baker Mayfield. Baker missed on a lot of throws, too, in that game where he had some guys open, too. Dalton's not going to miss.
I think this is a huge game for Tampa, not only because of the win and loss that it'll result for each team, but also because this defense has shown that they can play at home.
Mm-hmm.
They've not shown that they can play on the road at all. And if there's they're coming off a big performance. I know they have some injuries, but the guys still played inspired. They played well last week. You've got to see if they play to the same degree that they played and they lose, you can almost even live with that knowing Curry and McCoy are coming back, you're getting Kendall back. You know, you can almost live with that, but they've got to kind of show that they're the same caliber defense that they are at home that they can be on the road. I think it's a big game for them.
I look at this as kind of a statement game. You know, when the Buccaneers went to Kansas City a couple years ago and won on the road, you know, it was announcing that, hey, we're not that 5-11 football team or the whatever it
which
was.
Which they would be the next year.
You know, and yes, which they would be the next
we
year.
We won't be that team until next year.
we're going to hold off a while. But no,
we've got Keith Tandy who's going to win three games for us by himself.
Road win against a good team. And I'm going to take out the whole Sunday night thing against the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are just at another level right now, the way they're playing, particularly offensively. That game reminded me a lot of the Bucks-Bears game where things just got out of control.
Right.
48-10, 45-10. So.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything to stop them. The Bengals are a better football team than they showed on Sunday night. But, you know, the team that shows up, I think, with the most energy, as far as talent, when you look at the roster, I think this is a very evenly matched, you know,
especially
team.
Knowing who's hurt for the Buccaneers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a close game.
You think the Bengals will win, though?
I'm going to lean towards the Bengals. Okay. I'll probably end up picking the Bucks on Saturday during our prediction thing.
Coward.
Well, yeah.
Coward.
I mean, I'm 1-0 in the last week.
Greg, are you allowed to make predictions?
Yeah, no, sure.
All right.
I have a weird feeling. I keep looking at all these Bengals games this year, and there's insane swings in every Bengals game this
year. Oh, goodness gracious.
Year.
It's just the most.
Dolphins are up 17-0.
Yeah.
Bengals roll 27-17 on 2 fourth-quarter defensive touchdowns.
Crazy.
The Steelers game,
they
Bengals took the lead with a minute 18 left, lost it with 10 seconds left. Falcons game came down to a score in the last minute.
Yep.
So I totally see a very close, very tight game that comes down to the wire, but I think the Bucs win right now.
Wow.
I think the Bucs win, too.
I think they start to get a little turnover help that they completely have not had at any point in the last month at all.
The biggest concern I have, and again, I was probably Kwan's biggest critic through the first 5 weeks of the season. Thought he was fairly inconsistent, but getting that C on his chest before that game, I think, really meant a lot to this guy because he came out and played Kwan.
Oh,
played some great inspired football, and he was the catalyst for that energy for that defense
for them to
play as well as they did.
Sure,
I'm concerned about not having him. Who is that guy to provide that energy for football team?
That's fair.
So I think. That's the difference in the game to me.
A couple of matchups. I think John Ross probably is not going to go for them.
No. They had 10 guys.
Yeah,
not
so Ross isn't going to go. So that eliminates at least a potential mismatch because the Bucs don't really have a speed corner on their team. Carlton's going to get A.J. Green, which is going to get real interesting, and it's going to be at least a fun way for Carlton to match up how he is against some of the better receivers. Tight end with Eifert hurt. I mean, they're just not much there.
Zuma?
So, I mean, Kwan going down doesn't hurt them nearly as much there. But Levante on Mixon is going to be a big deal because Mixon is one of the best pass catching backs I've truly ever seen. I mean, he makes like one handed easy grabs out of the backfield every week, and I just can't. So, Levante playing on him when he comes out of the backfield is going to be a big deal. But I think the Bucs win ultimately because I think the offensive weapons are going to be too much for Cincinnati's defense.
All right, well, we're going to find out Sunday at 1 o'clock from Cincinnati. You know, and if you're looking for a place to go to watch the game, there's a great place all over the Bay Area. Ford's Garage have multiple locations throughout the Bay Area, including Lakeland now. Orlando is open, St. Pete, Countryside, West Chase, Brandon, Wesley Chapel. Great place to go watch the game. Multiple big screen TVs, great family atmosphere, wonderful menu, great burgers, great beer selection. The good news is if the Buccaneers do lose, they have an all-day happy hour so you can drown your sorrows away at 4 o'clock. You'll still get the same great drink specials that you would normally get with their all-day happy hour. So make sure to go check out Ford's Garage, located in multiple locations throughout the Bay Area. You can check out them on the web at FordsGarageUSA.com is their website. You can find out where those locations are. You can check out the menus and find out what you want before you go there so you're ready to go watch the Buccaneers play, have your meal ready for you, and enjoy a good family atmosphere over at Ford's Garage. And little known fact, even if you drive a Chevrolet or a Toyota, you're welcome there. They do not have somebody in the parking lot kicking you out. That was smart, yeah.
Greg,
they thought about that, but they didn't.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Greg.
Yeah,
guys,
Greg,
anytime you want, man. It's always fun with you guys.
All right,
Thank you.
We'll make sure Scott doesn't show up again next week. You going to Cincinnati?
I am.
Of course you are.
Looking forward to it.
I think we're going to take that. We're not going to go to Cincinnati.
I'm not going to
Cincinnati. We decided there's like nothing going on in
you
Cincinnati.
You said cold, but rain.
Yeah, 60%
so like
chance 40s
of rain.
And again,
and
this
rain.
This is like a 4-day out weather forecast. Those are always kind of sketchy. But yeah, 60% chance of rain, high of 54. Low of 42.
Some old school football.
Ugh,
run the ball.
Depressing.
Right. Got to sign Mike Alsat just for this one. See if he's still got it. See if the neck's still got it.
He's got it. Just put a brace on that sucker. For Greg Allman, Trevor Sikkema, I'm Mark Cooks, and we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.